Welcome to On Tuesdays We Co-Work, where I am co-working my way around London with my partner in crime, home slice, boss babe.
I think we got it, can we crack on?
Hi guys, welcome back to On Tuesdays We Co-Work.
Hello everyone, this week we decided to share some of our favourite books, podcasts, films, I think we've kind of learned from. And
I don't have any, but really? I'm interested to hear yours. Yeah. Basically just like a file of, almost like a Bible, growth Bible. sounds really weird. But like a one-stop shop of all of the resources that we think were really influential to us.
Yes, I think, you know, that because you, every day, I think you get, you know, you get involved in conversations, and if you're that kind of person that you just soak all the information in, but then time you have an experience with a book or a podcast or a film, and it's just a big game changer and just shift your principles, that those core values that you had,
yeah,
kind of questions them, and then from then on everything else is a little bit different.
Yeah, I always think it's all about information. I was reading about this in my course, that like being exposed to the information is the kind of catalyst, isn't it? And what you said about conversations, I think it's harder to change from a conversation. I don't know, for me personally, with books, I don't feel that pressure of, even though there's obviously somebody who's written that book, but when I'm in conversation, I can be very sceptical of a different opinion. And not in the sense that I'll attack it or anything, I'll listen, but I'll be a bit like, aware of, this is coming from a person who has their own value system and their own
bias. It's a subjective
experience.
Exactly. Yeah.
And when it's a book, I feel that, and I think it happens too fast. Like the conversation happens so fast that I'm kind of like, I don't get time to decode exactly what I take from that. But in a book, I feel like you have, in a film or something you do on your own, even a podcast, because there's not that other person, that you're not interacting with it. You don't have to think about what you're going to say back, that I feel that I can actually soak it in a bit more and break it down, and really then reflect on what I believe and how that links in. So for me, when I've had those moments of change, it's always been in like books and podcasts and stuff.
And look, for me, I think the reason I really wanted to talk about it, because just recently, since I had a big shift in my life of like, but then I think we talked about it previously on the podcast, that I had a couple of months when I was just really on autopilot, and I was doing things, I was slowly going forward or doing my days by days, but I just didn't have the kick, the motivation, the inspiration that I have now, touch wood. and it's just been really interesting that, for instance, I listened to a podcast. I remember one episode of a podcast, person, Vision something from Mind Valley podcast. And that was one episode that kind of just, for some reason, I just scrolled and just clicked on it randomly, and it was for me. It was, I heard the words and everything that I needed to hear. And then since then, I had conversations, and I read a book, and I had another conversation with someone else. I just keep hearing the similar thing. So for me, what I find is that if I'm really interested in a topic, and reading about it or listening about it in my private time, then I find that it kind of pops up in conversation as well. I think subconsciously, like, I'm driving it that way, and that's what I'm focusing on.
Yeah.
But that's how conversations for me is, that whatever I learned and heard and I'm interested in, that kind of wakens that thought in my head. And then in the conversation is where I can actually explore and develop and listen to different personal, subjective, you know, opinions.
100% agree on that. Actually, it was something I was going to say and I kind of forgot. But what you're saying is like psychologically backed.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think it's called the Dunning-Kruger effect. But it's like, you know, our brains have so much information that we can't process. So we filter a lot of things. And then because you've read it, that's brought it from your subconscious into your conscious.
Yeah.
And then when you hear it, you know, you might have heard it the week before but not even noticed. But then now you're aware. So that's one thing. And then equally, I think that's why, like what you said about then you'll have conversations about it. To me, I feel like that as well, that the book or the podcast or the thing that I choose to, I make the conscious choice that I want to read this or I want to engage with this.
Yeah, or something that you want to start implementing in your life or...
Yeah, that plants a seed for me because I'm making it in my conscious. Yeah. But two, I think it's because I am deciding to do it. It's my choice rather than like somebody brings something up that you don't really want to hear.
Now that's not your priority. But when you say, okay, this time, like, let's open this door and tidy up that room.
100%.
Yeah.
So then I do learn from the conversation. You know, I'll have conversations about it or I'll notice other people talking about it and you do suddenly have this like knock-on effect, right?
Yeah.
So I think...
I think probably that's kind of what difference is. When it's like a book, podcast or a film that you choose to engage with or conversation, because a conversation is, you know, you're only 50% in charge of what's happening.
Yeah.
So you never, you know, you might not in the same stage or you know, you live by the same values as your conversation partner.
Yeah.
So it might be not for you as much as the book that you choose to.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm.
And to link that, I think sometimes it can be seen as like, oh, when you read a book, you're just reading a book, that's it, like, you know, then you finish it and life goes on. But the reason I think that is so much more than that, and, you know, we both love books, is because I think that when you read that book, you're making a conscious decision that, like, okay, I'm going to change this area of my life. Even though it might seem like, okay, I'm just reading that book, it's not like I'm going to start writing, you know, you don't consciously write down a plan or something.
Yeah.
But you're switching your mind onto that topic, and you're basically opening it up for even if you don't intend to, like you say, somebody will be talking about it and you will actually listen or you will hear it.
Yeah.
Whereas before you may not have even heard because of your filters.
Mm.
So I think what book you choose to read informs like what's going to happen next in your life.
Yeah.
It's not just that you shut that book. Obviously, it depends how switched on you are to growth mode and to wanting to make the most of it. But I think what you just said there is really true, that you will, even if you don't want to hear other opinions, but you'll notice, like, say you read a book on one topic, you hear someone talking about it and saying how they disagree with it or something, and you really agree. I know I would be a bit like, oh, I don't really want to hear this, like, because I know I strongly disagree with them. But I would hear the fact that they were talking about it.
Yeah.
Whereas the week before, I might not have even picked up the word, the keyword. Yeah. So that's why I think the idea that it was your idea, really, to
point
people in the direction of things that are really influential for us. Then you guys can pick and choose if anything sparks something in you and you want to read that, and then start your little like snowball effect of growth in that direction.
Yeah. So what I wanted to definitely mention that was a big, big game changer for me is when I realised that, I don't know if the siren's going to be in it.
Okay. Maybe it's a bit of a gamble, but if you heard that, I see one.
So when I realised that whatever I want to achieve in life and in business, then I have to sort out myself, and my weakest point was relationship with people. And I'm not just talking about romantically, but friendship-wise and everything. Mm-hmm. And so I got a book from my mom, which was in Hungarian, so I think I'm just going to refer to a book that you wrote as well later on. But that was about codependency. It's on your list.
My list.
So I always thought, I remember my mom kind of told me 2-3 times when I was kind of raising an issue, and I raised that how I felt, how I misunderstood I felt, or how I acted in a certain situation, and mom was just like, oh, I have this great book, read this codependency book if you like. But I wasn't open to it, but she wasn't pushing it. And there was one time I was just open to it and read it, and then I realized as well why she didn't push it, because that's one of a big part of, if you went through your codependency book, that you know that you're not going to force it to anyone. You can offer the help, they take it if they're ready. If you're not, it's not your journey, it's not your mission to fix the other person.
Yes. We've both done that. We've really embraced this book. That is textbook.
I think it's well done. I think if you read that one book, that's gonna just free you
100%
in ways that you didn't know you can be free.
It's something you said last week, I think, or the week before, where you said that really you think everybody in this day and age has, because we think that it's kind of, I think codependency can be seen as a bit of a dirty word.
Exactly.
Like, when I was reading it, I was embarrassed because on the front cover, it looks like it's a book about like alcoholism and drugs. And I was like, I'm literally like the most innocent person. It's nothing like that. But it does seem like, oh shit, she's got some issues. Like this girl has got some issues. But really, it's not. Like,
yeah.
I think I completely agree with you that everybody in this day and age, we learn to be codependent from an early age, so we need to do this. Like,
yep. I personally thought that it was aimed to people who are very addicted to relationships in a romantic way. And I'm like, no, I'm an independent, strong woman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I felt offended and when reading that in the beginning, and then I realised how much it's a very different journey, and it's how we do things and why we do things and how we just want to have the control over everything that we shouldn't or we don't have to. So I think if you're just ready to let go of things and free up loads of energy and focus the energy on yourself and your own growth, then read, I think you had the...
Well, what you just said there, you said before you went into the codependency, you said that you realise that your growth and your success, even in business, relies on your, what's the word? Like yourself and you being a good mental health and like, I think that mental health sounds like the wrong word, but it's about like you having dealt with your things, right? Yes. Like as a person.
You have like healthy relationships with yourself and with the people around you.
And with all your shit. Like, I like to think that we all have little bags of shit. And I put them in the goodie, like shit in the goodie bag. It's not like shit in a bad way.
Yeah, but like just nice something that we picked up along the way, what we brought from our parents, what's in our DNA, what we learned. Yeah, and
I've got a really graphic image now of like a, you know how they say like a baby comes in a stalk, with a stalk? I've got this image of like a unicorn. And then it carries all your shit, and it's like the poo emoji.
Mm.
It's pink with sparkles on it, and it has like little bags, and everyone has their little bags of shit carried by a unicorn behind them. And that's how I imagine it, because it's not a bad shit; it's a good shit. Anyway, sorry.
Yes.
Tangent. My point was that what you said there is 100% what I put in my list beforehand, and I kind of segmented. So if you don't mind, I can suggest these categories, and then we can go into that. So I thought that. When you're looking at the growth period and resources that you need, first you need the self-work / reflection books.
Yeah.
So that's what you kind of said, which is that the books that deal with your little bags of shit, your own stuff, of what you need to get yourself to the place of good health in the holistic term.
Just to be ready to take on tasks and not to be distracted.
Exactly.
But things you...
It's your asset, and I think that asset needs to be in the best place.
To have a good foundation of what you... Yeah.
Exactly, foundation like that. And then second, I think, is more to do with, like, ways of working in life. So now that you know, like, you're in a good place, it's more, like, strategic and, and like... productivity hacks and business strategies and the more tangible side of things. And then the last one is more like application based stuff, so things like, for me, masterclasses and even like biographies and other people's stories where you then see how they did it and you take that and you apply it. So it's kind of like self-work, theory, application.
Okay,
so maybe we could we could use that
Structure,
yeah. We're vibing today. I feel like you just know exactly what word I was meaning. So we could kind of do it in that way.
But then how we started with the self, how do you call it? Self-reflection, self-building?
Self-work / reflection.
No, self-work, foundation building books.
Oh, I missed one.
Go on.
So you got self-work reflection, and then I think motivation and drive books.
Okay.
So books that inspire, but not necessarily give you information, how-tos and stuff like that, but just inspire you with this, like, can-do attitude.
Yeah.
Could even argue, like, mindset, motivation, then the ways of working, and then the application.
Okay.
Yeah. So I could give some more for the self-work reflection. Maybe you have some as well.
Well, I mean, this, we haven't named the book that we're talking about, the codependency book.
Oh, there's named it yet.
No, that's what I said. That, yeah, because what I got from my mom, that was literally a PDF, like she printed out, and it's in Hungarian. So for me, that was a very different one. But I know that you read one,
yeah,
and that's why I wanted you to name it.
Okay, yeah, it was on my list, so we'll do that.
So so that was The New Codependency.
Yeah, New Codependency. Melody Beattie, yeah. B-E-A-T-T-I-E. She is the codependency woman, like in the US, I think. But it's so funny because I was watching a Netflix show called... Dead to Me. I don't know if you've seen it.
Oh yes,
it's very new and it's very good.
So I haven't probably seen it, but I've just seen the trailer.
Sure, I think like a lot of people probably will watch it. So I mentioned it because there's this one scene where one of the characters is reading Codependent No More, which is her previous book to the one I read, and she's just reading it, and then the other girl goes to her, "Oh, Codependent No More. So just some light reading then." And it's like a joke about how she's got these deep issues and whatever. And I was like, this is exactly the kind of opposite though of what I want to share about it. Is that it's not that stigma of like, oh God, you're in a bad place in your life if you need to read that. Actually, it's so, like, we're both young girls in our 20s and we read it.
Thank you.
Youngish.
Thanks. I'm going to tell you that where did we go? We went to the shop with Glenn and then the guy, oh no, where did we go? I don't know where we went. And then the guy was like, oh, do you have a student card?
Oh,
and I was like, oh, you're such a sweetheart. I could be a mum.
Like. I'm glad you find that flattering, because when I go on dates, like a couple of times now, I've been on date with an older guy who's like 31, and then I keep getting ID'd, and it's really awkward.
They think that you are his daughter.
So they think that I'm not even 18, and I'm with this 31-year-old. It's very, it's like not very smooth, is it? When you're on a date and you're just like all dressed up and you're like walking into the bar, and then I walk past the guy as well, in, and they go, excuse me, can you come back? And I'm like, oh,
but yeah, so yes, we youngish, and when I read it, it wasn't like, it's, I think it's not a book when you are really lost. Probably has helped that as well, but for me, it was, I was okay, and I just felt ready.
Mm-hmm.
To let go of things. So it wasn't a case of, I'm in a dark place, I don't know where I am, so I need to read this book, and it's going to drag me out of the darkness. Maybe it helps there as well, but I knew that I was, when I'm reading it, in a good place. I was just in a situation that was reoccurring, and I didn't know how I could get out of it. But it wasn't like a big life-changing thing. And then when I read it, it just freed me, and I was, because I was already like in a good state, I was really ready and open to it.
Mm-hmm. See, I agree and disagree, because I read it in December, January, and obviously I was in a good place considering that I had that breakup, and that was when I realized that, oh, I'm actually okay. Like, I thought I was going to go through some shit again where I'm emotionally like messed up for ages, but actually I was like, oh, I'm really okay on my own. But I kind of fell into these habits of like meeting somebody new and feeling that like sense of kind of, you know, need or something, like, do you know,
that
sense of just becoming, letting somebody come into my life and sort of take away my peace, basically. I think that's the best way to describe it. Not a bad person, nothing like that, but just have too much effect on me when I just got to this place where I was alone, whatever. So I was kind of in a good place, like, considering, and for me, I felt that, oh, I had this sense of positivity that I've got this, I can do this, and I'm okay. But then I was going this kind of spiral mentally where I was starting to struggle with these issues that I've always struggled with, thinking like, how am I ever going to stop doing this? Kind of thinking like, oh, I've just done it again. So like, when is this going to stop? And I did feel that every time I read it, it would pull me out a bit. So for me, it was a different experience, but then I wasn't in a complete. So when I had these issues like 2-3 years ago with an ex, and just with friends as well, like all relationships, not just romantic, I don't think I could have, I don't know if I would have been ready for it, because I was so lost. I don't even know if I would have been able to reach out for it or know that that's what I needed. Probably that's part of it. But I have recommended it to friends and stuff, because I think that it's one of those that just puts things in perspective.
Yeah.
So for me, I'd really feel one way that I really, that person was very important, or that it really mattered. And then literally reading a chapter, I would feel like, oh, actually, and it would just change my perspective. I don't know whether that is because of how I already, what place I was in or, yeah. or not. But
I don't know. But kind of summing up, summing the whole book up and the experience, that I would recommend it to people who feel that either that they are expected too much of, mm-hmm. or if you feel that your friends or your colleagues or your than a private person, romantic relationship or family relationship, that you are scared to lose them, if you are scared that they don't need you,
mm-hmm.
or you don't need them. So if you have certain patterns that you just like to hold on and have a grip on a relationship for any reason, and you have expectations and it's never met,
yeah,
and you always feel misunderstood, or you don't understand the other person, then just give it a read. And
I definitely agree with that, but I would even also say that from my side of things, it didn't feel that severe. I always felt that I didn't really have, like, oh, I've had healthy relationships and whatever.
Mm.
But what it was, little things that when I once I read it, I realised, oh, this is for people like me.
Yeah.
Where, like, what other people do might affect you. Like, a friend. Like, if a friend is upset or, like, a friend has something going on, you feel that kind of gets to you. You feel that you have to help all the time. Mm. You have to make sure everything's okay. Or that you should do that. We feel guilty if you don't take control of the situation. Yeah. And it doesn't even need to be in the sense of romantic relationships,
yeah.
but if you just feel that people affect your life, which I think is pretty much everyone,
mm.
that like what your partner does or like, and I know that that is to some extent that is going to always be the case, but I was brought up to believe, and not just from parents, but from life, that your close friends, your family, your parents, your partner, what happens in their life, like if something bad happens, if they're upset, you will be upset. If they're happy, you'll be happy. But actually, I don't think that anymore because of this book.
Yeah.
So I would say if you ever feel like that, which I think is probably most people, then even then you would benefit from it.
Yeah.
I think if
anyone's ready to view relationships from a different perspective, and
if you want to feel free but still have relationships.
And to have a very calm, and I don't even know what's that, just solid, secure, free relationship with people, then read these books, because it's going to make you really strong, and I think it's going to, have a much lighter, but not in a meaningful way, but in a lighter, freer relationship with people.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah, which doesn't mean lack of commitment or anything. It's more just like, you won't feel that weight or that, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, if this is kind of a topic that kind of tickles you a little bit, then the new codependency or the codependency no more.
Yeah. I think the new codependency is, like, the updated one, because the other one was written quite a few years ago, so would definitely recommend that.
And then give it a read. You have another self-work one?
I have two more.
Okay.
Three more. Oh, sorry.
Oh dear.
So I've got The Life-Changing Magic of Not Giving a Fuck.
Yeah.
Which is Sarah Knight. And it's quite, like, I think it's quite a trendy book, right?
I just downloaded it on Audible.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's quite a trendy looking book. I remember I bought it because it was an Instagrammable cover.
Mm-hmm.
About when I was like 18 or 19.
Okay.
But all these years later, having read so many books and being so into the growth thing, actually, it does stand out. And I think it's not just a pretty, just a pretty cover. And it's somewhat similar, I suppose, to codependency, only in the sense that it's very much about how, other people affect our life. I think it is quite similar to codependency, the more I think about it. But it's much more, if you want something a bit more tongue-in-cheek, it's hilarious. I was laughing the whole time that I was reading it. So it's a fun read, whereas the new codependency is a little bit more serious. So if you're not sure if the new codependency is for you, but you think that maybe some of those things you might feel, it's one like that. And it's more about what, caring what other people think, feeling obliged to do things. So again, that's a bit of codependency. Trying basically kind of living your life the way you think you should, or that you need to, or what, to make people think of you in a certain way, which is something that I think most young people feel. But I was very, very, I always cared so much about what people thought of me. Yeah, I just wasn't doing what I wanted.
Just everything went through a filter of, if I do this, then what will they think of me? If they're going to like me?
Yes.
Are we still going to be friends? Or, if I don't call him back in the next 2 hours, then maybe he's going to start texting someone else, mm-hmm. and all these things.
Living life about consequences for others rather than,
yes.
what do I actually want? So that's
a lighter codependency fun book. Okay.
Do you want to go or shall I?
No, your turn.
So then obviously the values factor. I won't say too much about that because I'm pretty sure we've covered it in every episode.
But isn't that like half a... Because I never read it. I'm kind of still waiting for... Who finished it?
Almost. I finished it, but I was like the last chapter. Yeah.
It's just because I know that I'm in a queue.
Yeah.
But I think... from my understanding that you've been kind of saying that it's kind of half self-work and half like motivation, figuring out business or like a lot, isn't it? Like what you want from life. It's not as
I think it's more, I don't know, I think it's more self-work in the sense that the reason I put this on the list is because it's knowing where you are and knowing where you are and what you want, and I think that comes under self-work. So it's I think it's more about asking questions and really getting to know yourself. It gives you a framework to do that, and it kind of gives you tools to do that. But ultimately what I think you get out of that one book is very much about the self. It's not so much about what other people did or the strategies that other people use that you should implement. It's all about, it does get share strategies, but strategies of how to do the self-work.
Okay, so it's quite a practical...
It's very practical.
Like, hold your hands along the way.
Definitely, kind of. Yeah. Very supportive, lots of frameworks in there.
Oh, cool.
But really all about step one, which is knowing what you want to do and what you... And then...
Because I remember that when you read that book, that's where you kind of shifted completely from fashion to... 100%.
That
to
was kind a of game serve,
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because it makes you really, like, get to know what motivates you.
So the values factor is for people who feel that you know that you want something, there is something in you that you want, that wants to come out, and there is a journey or a path or you want to come from a serving point of view, any kind of point of view that wants to come out, but you can't really...
I would go as far as to say it's kind of for anyone or everyone, because it's everybody, I believe, that we all should live a life of purpose, and that everybody should live a life where they feel that they're doing what they want to do, whether that is like taking care of family or if that is like running a business. We should all live because we feel like we want to do this rather than, we're just passing the days.
Yeah.
And I know that some people do kind of get into this comfort of where you just live to make money and then to go out the weekend and to make money. And it's not a sense of, it's not even about work, but you know, whether on the weekend you like to garden or whatever, like you have your purpose, your thing that makes you happy and that drives you and that you like and that is your deeper meaning. That's what I would say is for everyone, because I think not everyone wants to run a business and or wants to like change the world, but everybody has something, their purpose, and not many people actually know what it is.
So is this purpose not just for business career purpose?
So there's a lot about family, about like marriage, and so I remember my ex was reading it when he didn't know what he wanted in terms of, did he want family, did he... So it helped him. So for me it helped a lot with business, but for him it helped a lot with...
So it's very much a free structure.
Yeah, so there's chapters about different elements from business, money, family, relationships.
Wow, yeah. I can't wait to read it. So chop chop,
yeah.
Well, what I'm reading now, which I would definitely want to put on a list, but again, I think it's a heavier one. I don't think that everyone's ready for it. It's a very alternative book, or very like you have to be just open-minded when you read it. And it's about, kind of ties loads of things together. I think whoever is a bit spiritual or likes manifestation, positive thinking, and working with who you are, and the universe, and like just energies, then this is definitely a book for you. But I'm literally reading 5-6 pages, and then that's it. And I have a pencil as well, and I'm like outlining sentences so later I can read it, because it's quite heavy. It starts off with, you know, that mental chatter that you have in your head all day.
Yeah.
And
internal dialogue.
Yes. And how it is kind of creates an alternative reality to you. But that's not you. That's not your life. That's just a part of you that's trying to make sense, trying to comfort you or trying to annoy you constantly, and how to be very mindful of that persona. Okay. Yeah. And how to detach from it and how to still carry on and not to, because that little chatter can block things in. That, you know, like you were just saying an example that you're driving on the road and there's a car coming who looks like your boyfriend's or girlfriend's car, and it feels like it's them, but it's two of them who's in the car. And just for some reason, like, you've been driving, you don't notice any trees or any cars, but for some reason, they just kind of block you in. And then even like 2 years later, it can sometimes things that are just still there and just hovering. Yeah. And how, and even good or bad things, but we just get fixated on some things and just block it in.
Yeah.
And then that would kind of stop us to experience and life as it is.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of pushing those boundaries. Obviously, I haven't finished, but this is what I felt that I needed to get sorted out this year, these blockages.
Mm-hmm.
This, I don't know where I go as far as scarcity mindset, but just as in the worry or the insecurities and hold on to something I know rather than, I was very anxious and worried, and so I knew that I need to learn to just let life go past me. Yeah. And just to get out of the
own head a bit.
Mm. Yeah. And then that's why I said about how then I listened to a podcast, and it was a really good episode. It was a really nice man. I'm not going to remember. It was on the Mind Valley podcast. Had this it was about stress and stuff like that. And he had an example about, like, you never know if what happened to you is a good or a bad thing. So just take it as it is, react to it. And, like, because, you know, how many times we had yesterday, I don't know, caption about this, like, you know, oh, in hindsight, now looking at back, it was for the better.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and back then it was, you know, end of the world.
Yeah.
So why do we rush to label things and put them in boxes and block them in ourselves, so then just experience life, work the energies, work the relationship, work the whatever we have,
mm-hmm.
and go over there, and then we can reach our maximum potential, yeah. probably. But I haven't finished, so I can't.
Okay, yeah, no, I've heard that book be recommended a lot by, like, kind of the people that I really like Tony Robbins. And so
yeah, it's a really, really good book, but it's definitely... Heavy. Like, I find it that probably because I'm really open to it as well, I really want to soak it in.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think if I wouldn't recommend it as your first ever, like, bit spiritual,
yeah, yeah,
about energy books. It's not really practical, it gives you examples, but yeah, it's quite like up in your head and
quite deep, yeah.
So, yeah, I get emotionally and mentally tired.
Can imagine.
So yeah, there's Untethered Souls by, I don't know, but I think we're gonna put everything on the show notes, right?
Or yeah. I just realized I don't know if I said this, but I had the self-write reflection books, which I've said, and you said, then I said the motivation and drive, but there was also the way of looking at life section.
Well, that's similar, which is thing.
So self-work, I think, is more about mindset. Like, what do you want, and like fix your issues. But then the way of looking at life, it was more about, like, information, so alternative ways of perspective, like, alternative ways of looking at things, like kind of what you said there.
Yeah, I think there's still self-work that for you to realise that there is not just one perspective, not just you as far as you knew, but there are different.
Yeah.
So I think there's still...
technically all of this could come under self-work, because it's all about improving, but I guess I meant, like, reflection on yourself and... how you think. So I suppose, yeah, that ties in.
Yeah.
But the two that was there was option B and 12 Rules for Life. So 12 Rules for Life was worth it. Mm-hmm. I think you would really like it.
Yeah. Glenn has it as well.
Oh, yeah. Probably a lot of you have read it by now because it was like a bestseller last year. But it's a bit heavier.
Yeah.
It is a bit heavier. But
really, it makes you look at things a different way. For me, it felt that it's kind of like opening up a light. Mm. So it's kind of when I can feel quite dim or quite sort of negative about things, or a bit limited, a bit trapped, it made me kind of feel like there's so much possibility.
Yeah.
And just made me feel much more hopeful and positive, and that stayed with me since I read it.
And isn't that also that, just because it makes you take responsibility,
yeah,
that it makes you, in the sense,
empowers you.
Yeah, empowers you to make life simple, that, yeah, you fuck it up, you can fix it, there's, you know.
Yeah.
It's not big conspiracy theory against you.
Yes, exactly, because you know I'm a big advocate for personal responsibility for exactly that reason, because it actually gives you the power back rather than being like held victim to other things that go on. So I can't say too much more about that because I read it such a long time ago now, and I've talked about it a lot as well, so I think you just need to go and have a look into that one. It's quite hard to quantify because there's so much in there, but even if you dip in and out of it, then
you know, I think you have those, because for instance with the codependency, so I got it 10 years ago and I still have it in my on my bedside table, and sometimes for a month I don't open it, and then I feel like for any reason, there is no particular reason, that I just sometimes open it and read a little bit about it because I just feel that
I do that.
It's something that needs to be reminded. Because it's easy to shift and pick up other people's thinking and energies, and I think it's nice to remind yourself. So, you know, all these books, and I think that's an important thing, that whatever you read, it's not that you read it and then you're going to live your perfect life.
Yeah.
I think it's something that now you know where to reach if you feel lost.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, that's like I lent 12 Rules to one of my clients.
Yeah.
And she still got it, if you're listening. It's been like a year. And to be fair, I haven't once thought about reaching for it, but I really would like to. It's something that you think a lot of these books, you could just read a chapter again regularly. Like, you need to, because it's not, you don't remember it forever. And it's more like a therapy. You know, like when you feel down, you go for a walk. That's what I feel about reading the chapter. Like, if you feel a bit like struggling, you read that chapter, it changes your perspective.
No, I agree.
So option B is one about, it's called Finding Joy and Something and Strength or something in the Face of Adversity.
Okay, but option B is the book of the main title.
Yeah, well, it's called option B .. Joy and Building Strength in the Face of Adversity. So you can type it option B and you'll find it, but that's the full title. And it was about, you know, Sheryl Sandberg?
Yeah.
The one who wrote Lenin?
Yeah.
So she lost her husband, I think, a couple of years ago. And she's basically, it's written with somebody else, but it's all in her voice, like as if it's by her, telling the story of how it happened and what she, all the things she went through, and then links it to other things about how to handle any type of adversity. So it's people who've had assaults, people who've had like just like crazy experiences in life, people who've been through any type of adversity, basically. So it links into lots of different stories, but about how we handle it, why we handle it. So it's more,
so what is it for, or who would read this, or
I think anyone who feels that they would need some sort of help, they ever felt that they face something difficult and they would like help with it. So everyone, basically. Is again another one that's just about how to handle life, like a 12 Rules for Life, different perspectives. It's I'm pretty sure everyone listening to this has ever been through something difficult and struggled to deal with it. And obviously we battle through, we find our way, but this was comforting. For me, I felt like I've obviously gone through whatever I've been through already, and I'm not right now not feeling that I'm going through something particularly difficult, but it kind of, I cried so many times on the pavement because it's so, like, just to hear that somebody else, it was things that I wasn't aware of. So one, it brings your feelings into the conscious mind from the subconscious. So I was like, oh, I never realized that. Yeah, that is what I felt when this happened. I didn't realize it, but now I realize it. So it's like, you know, you feel sad, like when you go for a breakup or something, you lose someone, but you don't exactly understand the full spectrum of reasons.
So this is more, you know, because what we said about the codependency or the values factor, that when you're kind of ready to take actions, when you you know you want to kind of read about something new and take something new in, but this kind of sounds like more like what you have deep inside and you need to scrap it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And you need to get those wounds up because it needs to re-heal because it wasn't healed properly.
It's a funny one because in a sense, definitely yes, but equally it's not so self-helpy in the sense that you're almost listening to someone else's story. It's almost like you're reading a story.
Okay. You're so not... it's almost like a fictional, like a biography.
And it's not, because they do bring in, like, it's all real life and they do bring in examples and stuff, but it's just quite, you listen to it like you're listening into a story, but it makes you think and it makes you reflect. And it, I think there was something in it that sort of said to you, like, you know you're going to face adversity in life. Like, we all know that anything could happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I know that at some point in my life I'm going to have to go through grief. And we all know these things are coming at some point. And it's about... So it wasn't that I'm going for it now or anything. It was more that everybody in life is going to experience certain things. And reading this book will help you realise that you can come out the other side of that. Or that, like... you're going to have the tools you need.
Okay.
So it's hard to quantify again. It's quite difficult to summarise, but it was one of those that really got to me. Like, like, I was so glad that I read it. I actually listened to it on Audible. It was my first audiobook. And it was a bit of a whim. I got it on the trial and I was just like, oh, which one should I get? I've heard of this. And then... so, so glad. Like, something that actually changes you again.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just... oh, just evoke emotion in you. That's so then I've got one motivation and drive book and then two sort of strategy.
Okay. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. So motivation and drive, I've not even finished this one. Can't Hurt Me, David Goggins.
Okay.
So he's the guy that did all the pull up records. He'd done 100 mile marathon or something. Know. He's an ex Navy SEAL. But it's sort of like autobiography, basically. It's telling his life. But it's one of those that I haven't been very good at reading it recently, but when I did get it first, I would read like 4 or 5 pages and I'll be like, yes. Like, I'll literally be like, I can do anything.
Mm.
And I spoke to a couple of other people who've read it and they say the same thing, that you just want to run a marathon. Like, after it just makes you, I think if you're feeling a bit like sluggish, some days I just feel like, I don't know. Some days I'm like, yes, I know what I'm doing today, power through, I'm really motivated. And some days you can just feel a little bit cloudy on your purpose and what you want. And whenever I feel like that and I would read it, then I would automatically feel like, oh, there's so much that I could do in life, like so much I could achieve.
And is it not, because what I find sometimes that it mainly comes, I think we touched on it previously, mainly comes through podcasts, that when you listen to too much of their own experiences and they're all like biography, past, whatever, how they got here, and you listen so many times and then you get a bit overwhelmed and I feel like, yeah, they got it, but I'm not that. Does that make sense? That they were...
I'm not you.
Yeah, it just becomes... I know they always say, you know, if I did this, you can do this. But after a while, I'm like, okay, you guys are just really lucky, but they just went so far off. Like, I feel sometimes that those people I listen to are so far away from me that I can't really connect with them anymore.
Yeah.
More than just what they said. I was there where you were. So, okay, good. When, how, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel that link can miss.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. I think part of it is like, and so I'll preface this by saying that I read it in a certain mood. Mm. And there are moods where I know this isn't the book for me. So, agree. But part of it is to do with mindset. And I think sometimes we can get in that mindset of like thinking that, oh, that person, but they can, but I can't. And like that kind of limiting belief mindset. Yeah. So we all get into that from time to time. And that's why we look at that person and think, oh, no, but you could do it because of this, but not me. Sometimes you can get a bit like that. And he gets called like Superman or Superhuman and stuff because he's done all this amazing stuff. But he actually addresses it in the book.
Okay.
So at the end of every section, he's got like an activity that you need to do.
Yeah.
So it always brings it back to the self, which is quite good because he's not someone that everyone's like, oh, yeah, I'm exactly the same. I also ran like this many marathons or something. Mm-hmm. So I think he kind of recognized that and addressed it. But he also says like people say, oh, he's superhuman, he's someone else, because they put that distance, they deliberately put distance between us, to tell themselves that they can't be me, so don't try. And it's very, like, it's one of the, where you actually do really reflect and think about the deeper meaning of life and what is it that makes people successful and what stops and stuff. Yeah. So I think, yes, if you're, you know, feeling overwhelmed or you're feeling that you're kind of looking at other people and, you know, that we spoke about it before, feeling too much like, oh, I'll never be there kind of mindset, which does pass. I don't think it's a permanent state. And if it isn't, I think that that requires some work. Then maybe not the book for you at that point. But I think having it, reading a chapter when you're feeling like you do need some inspiration.
Then you feel that you already have that little fire, but it just needs a big boost.
Yeah. Or even sometimes I'm not feeling it, not feeling motivated, but I'm not feeling that kind of almost jealousy vibe. So okay, sometimes we get a little bit like looking at other people. Mm. If you're in that mood, no. But if you're just feeling a bit like, oh, I don't know if I can do this, I don't know what I'm doing.
And you always have that, the no sixth sense, that when you feel like that, and then is it more going towards the getting them spiral, or you're feeling down, but you know that someone just kicked you in the butt and you already kind of just been, you know, glowing and you're ready to go. So I think, just listen to yourself. Really.
Yeah, exactly. I think you know when. And the first chapter, you know, it's not something where you have to worry too much about how it's going to make you feel at first. It's once it gets more into it that then you will decide if now's the time or not. And then, so the last one on that was the 12-week year that we spoke about.
Oh, yes.
It is 12-week year, not 12-year week. And I'm just loving it. And actually, I'm going to do an episode about it because I've written out my whole 12-week plan now.
Wow.
It's made me think so much more strategically than I've ever done before, and I liked planning. But I've just never really... So now I've got, like, so many things I want to do. But for the next 12 weeks, I'm just saying, okay, I want to, by the end of this, I want to have achieved this, this, and this. And then I know that these things that have been sitting on lists for ages, like big changes in my business, you know, long-term things that you want to do, I finally just put them in.
Is it like a business coach in a book?
Yeah, kind of. That's a really good way of putting it. It's a strategy, but it really, like, you can make it your own.
Mm.
I think everyone can make it their own. And I was skeptical when somebody told me about it. I was like, oh, no, but that's not my style. Like, I don't want these quick fixes and stuff. But it's not that at all. Mm. It's actually just a way to really. So now I wrote down each week. You write down the things you want over the 12 weeks. Mm. Then you break it down into weekly actions.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went through and put, so week one, I put it in my list each week, my Wonder list online. And then I can see it, what I've got to do this week. And I've broken it down into little things like, okay, I wanted to finish this course by the end. That was one thing. So it's like 1 hour study for this. I'm planning to launch something by the end of the 12 weeks. So I did like write one piece of content for this thing that you're going to launch each week.
Yeah.
Broken down easy. Because, you know, otherwise you're like, how will I put that together? And you just think, oh, I've got to put that together. That's a massive task. You're never going to get to it. But when you break it down into small things and it builds up over the weeks.
And does it help you scale what you plan for 12 weeks? You know, you don't say that, okay, after 12 weeks I'll launch a business and get this and get that, but just kind of stay realistic
and
how to scale that 12 week goal.
Again, I'm still like, I'm not very far into the book, and I've already kind of written the whole plan and started implementing it, so I'm sure, I think it's going to give you more and more about that. But yeah, it does explain about, because I kind of thought, well, I'm not going to get what I'd get done in a year. You know, you think like, oh, well, how much of a goal should you set yourself? But I think it kind of...
That was my initial question of that, how big, how small.
It kind of explained... I mean, you have to do the work yourself, but it kind of like gives you an understanding of what kind of goals you should set.
Mm.
Yeah. And it's the breaking it down. It teaches you some things about productivity in terms of the day-to-day as well, how to actually utilise your time. They've got a different way of looking at the working day.
Mm.
And I just found all of this like really helpful. So
amazing.
A very much very strategic planning one, very practical compared to the other ones we've spoken about. But that it's been a nice change as well to have something that I've actually put in place and that has actively changed my workflow and my life. And I think that's part of the reason that I've got this new routine now, because every day, you know, we spoke about it a few months ago about you need to plan what you want to do the night before for when you're having bad days. You wake up, you don't have a sense of purpose.
It's
feels really difficult.
But now every day I know, like, oh, I'm really excited to work on my 12-week plan.
Yeah, and you wake up and you're already excited.
So I've been, like, before I used to wake up about, kind of pull myself out of bed if I wasn't going in for clients, around 8-ish, 8:30, oh, shit, it's nearly 9, quickly get changed, go to Starbucks, do a few hours work, come home, get ready, go to the gym. And now I'm, like, out of bed in Starbucks at 8 a.m. doing it. By 11 o'clock, I finished everything I needed to do. And then I'm like, oh, I've got a couple, like, I've got a few hours before I need to go to the gym. And it's just, that's, I genuinely think that's not, and nothing else has changed. I'm not getting any more sleep than I used to. If anything, probably getting less. But I just have this sense of purpose that gets me out of bed.
Yeah.
So really, like, really.
What I realised to try is that yesterday, listened to a podcast just by accident because I listened to something I wanted to and then kind of rolled on to the next episode. And it was just really interesting because I've been thinking about this, that I'd like to start doing meditation because I feel that I'm still not 100% there with mentally. Mm-hmm. And I'm really struggling with sleep, as in, like, I sleep a lot and it's really difficult for me to wake up. I'm really tired. And I know for the fact, from so many experiences, that meditation can make up for that time, and you just do half an hour and then you need 2 hours less sleep in the evening. Because they say that you sleep a lot because you're stressed, and this is how your body makes up for it,
right?
Because that's when you're producing certain blah 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 blah. So I listened to the whole podcast, really interesting.
Oh, that's so interesting.
So we're saying that how we, when we're really stressed, that's when we require having more sleep, because that's when we can produce and make up for the what we use up during the day. But if you put yourself in that state and you release that stress, then you don't need that much sleep because you're already dealing with that stress and
makes sense.
And not killing energy, getting stressed during the day. So that's what I really want to get into. And
I've never, because I don't meditate.
I've tried sometimes because it's like, again, it's something that you know that, oh, every people does
everyone it. Else does it, yeah.
And, you know, successful people do it and they wouldn't do it if it wouldn't make sense. Yeah. So you're part of you said, like, yeah, you know there is a little trick what we're missing there, but there are so many things we're trying to implement and prioritize and fit in and get used to that so far it hasn't been my priority, but my life kind of now making it to be.
Well, what you just said is the first time I've ever, like, that really caught my attention and that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
That's the first time that I felt like, oh, okay, maybe, like, actually that makes a lot of sense. And actually kind of want to do that now.
Yes.
Yeah, that's very
because it said something about that from, like, back caveman type thingy, that when you're asleep, that your body's resting but your mind's not. That's why, for instance, you snore and stuff, apparently, because really? Then if you have an animal around, then you can bring it. It's something really interesting because, like, you're really, like, your mind's making you breathe really loudly and stuff like that. I don't know.
Whoa.
I have to really listen to the episode. But then when you're in a meditate state, then your mind relaxes. But obviously, you're not fully asleep. Like, you kind of, yes, I don't know how is it exactly. Ooh. Or the other way around, that your mind's sleeping in sleep, but your body's kind of on call.
Right.
Maybe that's what it is.
Okay.
So, like, when you're asleep, then your body is on call.
Mm.
That if you need to kind of go, you wake up and you go. But with the meditation, you go so deep that your body kind of gets.
Ah.
I don't know. People listen to it a bit better.
Do you have the link or?
So I'll put it. It's again. I think it was a Mind Valley podcast.
Okay. Well, let's see if we can find. If you can find it, we'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, that's pretty much my lot. I just put in one masterclass at the end. Which I might as well mention now, which is a free webinar that I did about probably nearly a year ago now, by Julie Solomon, who's like the Picture Perfect Influencer podcast. And actually, I have stopped listening to it completely. Like, 6 months ago, I used to listen to it every day, but I guess my interests are always sort of changing and I left that behind. But I always remember it and I still utilize it today, her way of pitching. And this is via email mostly, was what I was talking about. But that's changed it didn't just change the way I email people, it changed the whole way I approach dealing with anyone. Like, if I sit opposite a client in the gym, it would change the way. It just made me understand how you sell, which sounds kind of, how you offer a service, basically.
And how you kind of express it the way you want it. Yes. That it's a service, that it's for you. It's not just a...
Or even how I run my service in terms of, it is a catalyst for me about realizing what running a business is actually about.
Yeah.
And it all comes down to value. And now I'm just so focused on value, which is something I want to talk about in another episode about how that's changed my business. But that was really because of that's because of that webinar, and it's something I always remembered.
Mm.
And it's a free webinar. I think at the end she offers, you know, like her paid product from there, which looked amazing. And I was thinking about it, but didn't go for it in the end, which is like a Pitch It Perfect group coaching or something. But just the free webinar
on her website.
I imagine it probably will be. I think it's her lead generation tool.
Okay.
If not, I'm sure she'll have, because you know she's always releasing new things.
Mm.
She'll have something like a different version of it. But she has lots of free stuff on her podcast and on her website. So I would have a look on there and have a look for it.
Yeah. So I think that's the other thing with podcasts. What I really like about these bigger influencers, that they always give out free webinars and like I know that I do quite a few with Jenna Kutcher, but she does quite practical ones for photography and for Instagram, Pinterest strategy, which I'm really into. So so I think that's really good to keep an eye out if with those kind of influencery podcast people.
Yeah.
That's a really good keynote. But I think kind of sum it up is there are these, maybe I would have just three big categories. One is with the self-help and with your mindset, your self-work, that you have a good foundation, that you open up doors in your mind that wasn't open before to see things and experience things differently and potentially kind of free some energy up that you've been kind of pushing energy into certain things in, you know, wrong way of having a relationship, not wrong way, but just the way you knew to have relationships. Yeah. And then with codependency, but for instance, just to kind of free up some energy that you can then use somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then having stressed or not knowing where you are and reading what the values factory is to kind of
get clarity.
Yeah, just to kind of, you know, how to channel and where to guide your energy. And then I don't even know what priorities are. And because I'm kind of like now mixing, but definitely I started more kind of self-workbooks, and then I was ready to do more the strategy ones and what you said about the 12-week,
yeah.
I really want to get that book now because it sounds really good, and I'm starting my coaching next week. I'm really excited. Yay! Which is kind of, I think, the personalized, like this is the last ultimate kind of step when you have a personal coach to yourself. But yeah, that book sounds really good as well, just to kind of looking out. I know I have a really good marketing book, which I'm just kind of just going to throw out there, called The Jab, 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 Right Hook.
Oh, yeah.
That's really good of how to use marketing and how is marketing really, and how to sell. So that's a bit more practical one, but can't recommend that.
So that was self-work.
And then strategy books, but they're still that kind of books and you sit down and read them. And then I think the last one, if you want the updated, like quick information, then just go out for podcasts. And I would definitely recommend to think about podcasts that not necessarily just within your field. Like I really like listening to completely different areas and skill even. Like I listened to amazing podcasts then. The guy got a project to send robots to the moon. Like I'm not going to send robots to the moon, but it was just his way of thinking and how, like, fundamentally wanted to change things and think outside the box kind of helped me to, like, yeah, don't put myself in a box. I have to pick the solution, not just...
I would say, just to add on to what you said there, that it's a circle or a cycle. Well, you said self-work, strategy, and then like the podcast. I would say like self-work, strategy, application, coming back around again. So application can be podcasts, can be books. But in the sense of you've got your kind of, I want to say woo-woo, but it's not woo, but like deep stuff for the self-work.
Yeah.
Then you've got your quite practical stuff for the strategy. And then it almost gets bigger again and deeper again in application, in the sense of listen to a story about a robot. Or something
yeah
like stories, because you then take the application from that, so that people have done different things.
And then you know what to listen out to. Once you kind of know how you are and you have a good foundation, you know the strategies you're interested in. And then when you listen to podcasts, then you kind of hear out little things
It's seeing it in practice. Mm. So this guy that went to the moon or whatever, he might have, you know, okay, he's got robots going to the moon, nothing to do with running a fitness business, but maybe he used a certain productivity hack or
pitching technique,
yeah, something like that, and then you would recognize that. So I think it's kind of like lots of information to very strategic to lots of information and interpreting it how it suits you. And obviously that you never finish the self-work section and just be like, okay, I'm never reading a self-work book again. You're constantly like flowing. But I think if you aren't completely new to this, then that's a very good place to start.
Yeah, 100%. And then all the books and then everything we mentioned is going to be in the show notes, because we know that we kind of went all over the place. It's going to
be fun writing that list.
All right, then. And then see you next week.
Yeah, of course. We will be back next week.
All right, then.
Goodbye. Bye.